So you have already given me enough introduction. Let's talk about the effect of stable boundary layer over the coweak on DC structure and the intensity in type of anarchy. So as three slides show, the definition of stable boundary layer is very simple. Just surface is cooler and the air is warmer. So the basic and most common used definition of stable boundary layer is the vertical gradient of virtual potential temperature. So here says if the virtual potential temperature decreases all the way from surface to the top of boundary layer, we call it stable boundary layer, which is the green line here. And if it is equal to zero, we call it neutral, which is the white line here. When it is unstable, smaller than zero, is the orange line here. You can see a kink. The question is this kind of boundary layer structure would happen in the hurricane condition or not? The figure here shows the pre-storm SST. Everywhere is warm, but because hurricane has a very special, unique air-sea interaction, which actually will induce the coweak. And therefore, over this area, it is possible the air temperature is actually warmer than the sea surface. So it is possible for the stable boundary layer to form. So now we want to focus on what ITOP data tell us. What is the story from ITOP analysis? I choose the data from specific flight for Typhoon Phanaki, which take off, I believe, is September 17, 18Z, when the flight actually had pretty good sample of the coweak. In this flight, we have 49 drop zones and 33 AXBT. Now, if we follow in this track, from point A to point B, we will pass through warm, cold, and warm. As what mentioned in three slides and yesterday in Peter Black's talk, by drop zone and AXBT in the nearby location, we can get the continued temperature profile. So then if I just following the drop zone along this track, the temperature profile we can get is here. So the number just indicates the drop zones. So 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way to here is 19. And from point A to B is warm, cold to warm. Up here is air temperature. The color indicates warm color is warm, and the blue is colder color from drop zone. The lower one is the XBT temperature. So here is the air-sea interface. What we notice is this area where we actually have warmer air temperature on top of colder SST. So, which give us the sensible heat flux is actually goes downward. However, in the other area, where is the warm area again, so warmer SST, colder airs, therefore the sensible heat fluxes goes upward. Then based on our definition, we can just, okay, after that, so these two areas, the energy transfer is actually reversed. Now based on our stable boundary layer definition, I can just use the drop zone data and the XBT plus to define the stability of boundary layer from our observational data. Turn out here we can see the red dot shows the unstable one and the blue dot shows the stable boundary layer. If we put the stone center here, the motion, clearly the stable boundary layer associated with the coweak. And here shows the vertical profiles we just showed before. Now, this is what ITOP data tell us. How about the couple model? The case Sui showed is for Typhoon Chaowei, but now I'm going to show you the results from the Typhoon Phanaki. So here shows the couple model simulation for Typhoon Phanaki. The black one is space track from JTWC. The blue is uncoupled one. And the red is coupled one. The check wasn't very surprised. Couple model usually don't change the storm track that much. What surprising me is the intensity. there's almost no impact. I was like, when I first see this, I was shocked, and I started to think, did I do something wrong? By any chance, I turn off ocean model without aware of that? So I was a little bit nervous, and let's check the co-wake. Turn off, I do have co-wake. So here shows the couple model simulation. It's a snapshot at this point. Literally here is on couple one. So the very thick magenta line is 29.5 degrees thick. So co-wake shows up here. So yeah, I have co-wake, but why? My snow is similar intensity one. So now I'm thinking, okay, let's think about the structure. Compared with the ZMA data, first we notice that they both have primary rain bed in the south side. So both couple model and uncouple model capture the asymmetry in terms of rain bed. And then the other one difference is observation shows a small inner eye wall here, shows up in the couple model as well, but not in the uncouple model. So just based on these three slides, we know, okay, even though I have the co-wake, which might lower down my surface fluxes, but because the structure is different, so when I use tracker to search for maximum wind peak wind value, it's probably still giving me very similar maximum wind speed. By the way, from here to here is 1 degree, this one to here. From this one to here is 2 degrees. So I enlarged the observation data a little bit just to show the feature. So now I want to know if couple model also give me similar stable boundary layer as what we had from the ICAP data. Here shows, again, this is observational from ICAP data, and here is the couple model result. I sampled based on the stone relative location, and the lead here is uncoupled result. Apparently, only coupled model, Seawolf, can capture stable boundary layer. That's the point. And then now I want to know what is the air property change in this area and eventually change the snow structure. There are two methods I can use to check the property of the flow. The first one is trajectory, which is an undiluted air parcel advected by wind. Undiluted means there's no mixing at all. So I write a trajectory code in Wolf and start to do the simulation. But this is not happening in reality. There's no undiluted air parcel in hurricane. So therefore, I use the other one as well, Chaser, which is an air mass that is subjected to advection, turbulent mixing, and the molecular diffusion. Of course, there is a sink chain of tracer, but in the Wolf, the sink chain is neglectable. So my hoping is these two methods give me the result towards the same direction. Then I will be more confident. I will have confidence to show the result. And now, in order, here shows how I initialize the tracer and trajectory. There are some rules I decide to I come up with, but I think it's good. First one, I put the tracer and the trajectory. Trajectory is labeled by the dots here. Tracer is this blue area. So I put them at least 150 kilometers away from the storm center. This number changed with the size of the storm, just because I don't want to touch the primary rain band. I want to make sure my tracer and trajectory in the beginning is not at a place where it's convection active area. And there's no cold wave in the uncoupled simulation, so I just put it based on the stone relative location. And in order to get statistic significant, in each of them I put 250 trajectory released in those area. And they are put in the lower variable within the hurricane boundary layer. In this case, I put in the 80 meters, which is the second level of the, which is the third level of the couple model. And both of them are checked for 12 hours. And the total amount of tracer is conserved within this period. So now let's see the result. because I want to emphasize on the energy. So what I do is I calculate the theta E. I calculate the theta E along with the trajectory from the co-weak region. So here is couple model simulation, uncoupled model simulation. Warm color, red means warm, and the blue is means cold. So in the beginning, they are warm in the beginning, both of them, because they are released in the boundary layer. And then with time, in warp, it immediately, a lot of the immediately goes up to the convection. But in the sea warp, they actually stay there. So stay there, they keep their energy, and a little bit cools down because they stay in the cold wave a little bit longer. And then next time, they get out from cold wave and start to gain energy again and bring such high energy into the IO. But this is never happened in the warp simulation. And I told you I have 250 trajectories, and those are majority results. I'm not selective. And even this is a result from Fanati. From Chao-Wan, it gives us even more clear results, just because Chao-Wan has a pretty well-organized IO. The Fanati's IO is more like not that close. So Sui has show you the results from the tracer results from the Typhoon Chao-Wan, so I'm not going to repeat the similar message, but just want to give you a schematic. What we mean is, if now there is the uncoupled, if we use uncoupled simulation, we have homogeneous warm SST. I put the tracer in one location. Most of them, the energy is waste in the convection. And some of them, a few amount of them, is actually end up in the IO area. But now, if I have a co-wake and the tracer is released in this area, then most of them, at this certain amount of them, the energy can be transported into the IO. So the conclusion is, I have oxidation confers the stable boundary layer in thesis, which is very correct. And the second one is Seawolf as a couple model is the only one can capture such stable boundary layer over the cold wake. And the new mechanism we try to propose, at least confirmed by two simulations already, which is stable boundary layer over the cold wake keeps air in boundary layer longer and increase theta E in the inflow into the IO, which indicates the couple model is more efficient in bringing high energy air into the center of TC than uncoupled model. So the bottom line is, if you see the surface flux is important to the storm intensity. However, we need right or efficient storm structure to bring it in, to use it wisely. Here shows the total enthalpy fluxes from the our simulation. Again, the red is the couple model and the blue is uncoupled model for the Fanati's case. Yes, uncoupled model get more energy, get more surface fluxes, but they didn't use all of them into the for developing a storm. Some of them end up waste in the convection. And the seawolf get a little bit smaller, lower surface heat flux, but they use it wisely. And that's why we end up having a similar storm intensity. So what we are talking about is efficiency. And I would like to thank for ITAP team collect data. I was in Guam, I know how tiring it is. Pete sometimes probably didn't even sleep overnight. And I would like to thank NCA scientists for their guidance on developing the top model and the tracer trajectory code in the world. And also, thanks for NCA to support this research. That's all I have. Thank you.
First of all, thanks a lot for your interesting talk. It's really interesting talk. I think there may be no contradiction between our two results, because my focus is in the inner core. Mm. So your focus is in the outer part, the rare part of the storm. Yeah. So do you think the best combination for intensification is to have a warm eddy in the inner core, but just in the inner core, and relatively at certain distance you have you need to have a more stable boundary so that you can increase efficiency. Do you think that will make the
I think the combination will be good, but how like which is weighing more is need to be tested.
Yes, because if the core is too big, yes. Go all the way to the inner core, it will kill it.
For fanatic simulation, we got similar intensity from top and on top simulation. But for Chowen, we actually got stronger from on top one. But if we do the flux difference with versus intensity difference, they are not proportional to each other. They are not 1-to-1.
So the relative distance. The relative location becomes very important.
Yeah, that's what I think.
The relative location and the size of the cold wave.
And also the timing, size of the storm.
And the translation speed of the storm, about how long the timing is like a very delicate balance.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So it's like, and the, so it's also the boundary that we, okay, so I don't ask anymore. I ask too many. Thanks.
Mentioned that the coupled model had more structure, even though it didn't reach as high an intensity as the quote best track. Did the coupled model go through an eyeball cycle at all?
I will replacement cycle, is that what you mean?
Yeah.
I see the very close to eyeball replacement cycle, but it didn't really happen, just based on the DBZ. I didn't do the Smith-Solomon average to see the pattern. But just by eyeball, I closed, but that didn't. I do want to use the drifter data, but I haven't done that yet. But I will focus. I will look into the drifter data for sure, and see what it gives us.
There are lots of PBL schemes inside Dwarf. Mm-hmm. Which one did you use?
I use YSU.
I'm sorry.
YSU.
Okay.
Yeah.
How many layers do you have in your boundary layer?
Below the 1 kilometer, I have roughly 9 layers.
Okay.